Our next speaker has been representing the 14th Congressional District of Ohio since January of 2013. And he hit the ground running at full speed when he took over for our longtime friend, Congressman Stephen LaTourette, who just lost his battle with cancer, for whom I'd ask us to pause for a moment of silence. Thank you. Congressman Joyce isn't just standing with us on issues that matter. He's leading the charge with his colleagues on both sides of the aisle. He knows that when it comes to good jobs and to a strong postal service, it's not about party lines. Ever since he arrived, he's been leading the dialogue with the Republican Party on the importance of preserving services, innovating to serve communities, and most importantly, standing with the workers that he represents. When it comes to maintaining six-day delivery, door delivery, and restoring service standards, he doesn't just sign on, he's the first in line to lead the fight as the original co-sponsor of both our door delivery and service standards resolutions. And as a member of the House Committee on Appropriations, he's played an integral role in defending our long-standing six-day delivery language. And if you tune in to the committee's coverage, you'll find him in that committee room educating his colleagues on why services must be preserved. He understands that the Postal Service is not only vital to parts of his rural district, but also to millions of small businesses and households throughout the country. It's because of his leadership on the committee that our long-standing six-day language has been preserved for another year. And it's also the reason that this year, the committee was able to demonstrate overwhelming support for restoring service standards. And when we saw Trade Promotion Authority, or TPA, come up for a vote last year, we saw Congressman Joyce emerge as one of the few Republican members to come out against the fast-track procedure. When it comes to collective bargaining rights and worker protections, he's got our back. We're grateful for his service, and we're proud to have him with us today. Please join me in welcoming our friend, ally, and champion to the stage, brothers and sisters, Congressman David Joyce.
Thank you all very much. I'm deeply honored. And I appreciate you inviting me here today For those of you who don't know me, I just want to give you a little bit of background. You know, my father was a World War II vet who was shot and left for dead, came home from the war, and he decided that he wanted to go to school, and he started off as a laborer at a company, and he ended up as the president. So he always drilled in us that you have to work hard for what you want. Now, when I went to school, I knew I wanted to go to law school, but I didn't know what I wanted to take. He said, take accounting. Those guys always confuse me. So I took accounting. And then when I was in law school, I studied nothing but taxes. But I had this Perry Mason thing where I wanted to try cases, and I ended up as a prosecutor. And I did that for 25 years. But, you know, the prosecutor thing was nice because you're used to dealing with facts, and you're used to dealing with issues, and coming to resolutions, and we get things done. And after the 25 years of doing that, when my good friend and dear friend, Steve LaTourette, decided he was going to retire, I decided I was going to go try to fill his shoes, as hard as that was going to be. And one of the things that I did when I got there was to try to, they wanted to put me in judiciary or other committees, and I said, no, I want to be in the things that matter, appropriations, or something to make, try to get our country back on track. And so you see, I'm used to facts. And one of the things that, you know, I got when I first got there was I met a group from the letter carriers. And they explained to me that, you know, the headlines that I was reading about $5 billion losses and how the United States Post Office loses money, there were many headlines, but they were based on an accounting mechanism that no other company, entity, or organization in the United States is required to follow except the Postal Service. And I tell you, you know, those are the kind of things that I paid attention to real quick, because this simple accounting mechanism sold me on why I need to fight for you guys. That was more than 3 years ago, and I could tell you, I've had your back ever since. But I didn't do it alone. Like anything, the best work is teamwork. And so I have to give a shout out to a group of people who helped me get there. First, of course, is your president, Frederick Rolando. Your Ohio State Chair, or our Ohio State Chair, John Dice. They have been great sounding boards and diligent in making sure that I understood all the facts so I could argue on your behalf. Then there is a Congressional District Liaison, Bill DeVore, who has been relentless in making sure that if I didn't understand what President Rolando told me, or that Mr. Dice had told me, that I would really understand the issues when he'd come to my office in Painesville. But lastly, there's a young lady that you have working for you in Washington, D.C., who I'm honored to work with. And as we fight for some of these issues, I'll come back from appropriations hearings. She'll be in my office working with my team to make sure we get out the message on your behalf. And I got to tell you, she does a great job of making sure that we understand your issues, other members understand your issues, and we're working to solve them, and that's Corey Keller from your D.C. office. Now I got a hunch you're going to be talking about postal reform a little bit in the next couple days. And I know, you know, Congress, unfortunately, they've been talking about it for a long time as well. For my short term, time there in Congress, I've heard it come up. But, you know, I'm an optimist generally. And my good friend who's wearing his Cleveland Cavaliers jersey, God bless you. Yeah. For 52 years, I was waiting for a champion. We finally got one this year. The gentleman who is a retired letter carrier who gave me a ride over here today was telling me he was a Raiders fan. And he said, yeah, didn't we beat you in sometime in a playoff? And both Tim and I knew the play that was called that we lost on. Yes, yes, you did. So you see, every year we'd fight and we'd hope that maybe that would this would be our year. And finally, it was our year. But I don't think we're going to have to wait 52 years to get postal reform done in Congress. The chatter I hear from both parties is that there's some momentum there that we can finally make some positive changes. And if it's going to be, if we're going to get it done, it has to be reflective of your needs. And I'd give you a piece of advice. Reach out to both sides and continue to reach out and educate your congressional members on how important this reform needs to be. There are people like myself who every day want six-day delivery to continue. We want to see door-to-door delivery continue and service standards, high service standards, remain in place. You see, I'm so very proud to work with my Ohio colleague, Marcy Kaptur, who also sits on the Appropriations Committee, and to keep these service standards. Now, if you don't know Mrs. Kaptur, she's a Democrat and I'm a Republican. So you can see that working together in Ohio, there's bipartisan solutions for your problems. But I want to end by saying thanks. You see, my congressional district goes from the eastern suburbs of Cleveland all the way through the rural back roads of the near PA and Ohio border. I see firsthand how every day how all of you work. And I know from my 25 years in the prosecutor's office that the great fabric of American society has many threads. Certainly the police who do their job every day, but part of that is the Postal Service. And it continued to make sure that all of us work together because, you know, the days that you're out there, you don't just deliver mail. Every day as you deliver mail around the country, you help save the elderly, or residents who might have fallen, or experienced medical problems. You've helped to locate missing children. You've stopped to help people after automobile accidents and stop crimes in progress. That isn't part of your job's description, but you do it because you care and because it's the right thing to do. So as I tell my brothers and sisters, again, I want to thank you for your work, but I tell them the same thing. This isn't some city post office. This is the United States Postal Service, and we want to have the best service, meaning the highest standards in the world. Thank you all for what you do every day. God bless you all. May God continue to bless the great country of America.
Thank you, Congressman. How about a letter carrier chair for Congressman Joyce? Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Thanks so much for being here. Ever since our next speaker was elected to Congress in 2009, she's been a friend to NALC and the letter carriers in the 27th District of California. As a Democrat, she represents the people of Los Angeles and surrounding area. When former Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe, who was friends with Daryl Issa and Darth Vader. Sorry. When former Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe suggested eliminating six-day delivery, she stood with us every step of the way, fighting to defend the tens of thousands of letter carrier jobs that would have been cut. She's been a staunch advocate for reforming the Postal Service and has co-sponsored legislation to grant the immediate relief from the unprecedented pre-funding mandate and to make six-day delivery permanent. She has also fought to stop the closures and the consolidations that we've seen all across the country. And we can always count on her to co-sponsor our three policy resolutions that protect six-day delivery, door delivery, and USPS service standards through the annual appropriations process. Just this past April, she took to the House floor to praise NALC's annual Stamp Out Hunger food drive and the California State Association, whose carriers collected over 6 million pounds of food in 2016 alone. And you might remember, you just saw her in that amazing video about the courage of America's letter carriers. So when it comes to our issues and working people, she has the courage of her convictions. And we're glad to have such a strong advocate for letter carriers here with us today. Please join me in welcoming Congresswoman Judy Chu.
Move them up and then do the committee reports. Who's been sitting back there? Okay.
Okay. Well, hello, National Association of Letter Carriers. What a thrill it is to be here at your national convention. And let me ask this, why did it take you 75 years to come back to Los Angeles? But I am so glad that you are here. I admire the letter carriers so much, and I am reminded by our California Association all the time as to why letter carriers are so important. You ensure that our seniors get the medications that they need on time. You ensure that our small businesses receive their inventory. And you ensure that families and friends can keep in touch no matter where they live. And with this important November election coming up, we cannot forget that you ensure that those absentee ballots get to the polling place on time. Our very system of democracy depends on the Postal Service and you. And let me say, we owe so much to letter carriers. You saw that in the video with so many inspirational stories. But I have to give a shout out to my very own Carolyn Zorn. You know, I will never forget when she told me the story of what she did in Pasadena. She, in fact, was not even thinking about telling her story. But we were sitting in my office in Washington, D.C., and she said, you know, I'm reminded of something that happened a while ago. And when she told me her story, shivers went up my spine. You see, she had been going to Mrs. Eli's home forever, it seemed. She knew Mrs. Eli so well. Mrs. Eli, who was 83 years old. And one day, Carolyn goes there, and she doesn't see Mrs. Eli waiting for her. And she sees the mail piling up. And so she knows something's wrong, and she goes around to the back, and she sees that the back door was wide open. Well, she immediately calls the police, who arrived and discovered that that home invader was still in the home, and he had raped Mrs. Eli. But had it not been for Carolyn Zorn, we know that this man would have murdered Mrs. Eli. So it is because of Carolyn Zorn that Mrs. Eli's life was saved and this guy was caught. How about that? So I tell you, Carolyn Zorn is my hero. And that's why I had to honor her with a congressional commendation. And that's why I know, just hearing her story, how important letter carriers are to communities all across America. You are the ones who know the people in their homes. You know the communities. You know when something is wrong. And so you are so integral to the lives of so many. And that's why we have to make sure that we keep our postal delivery service as good as it can be. And that's why we have to fight to make sure we have 6-day delivery service. I want to tell you that I'm committed to that. Not having 6-day delivery service would be so damaging to our businesses and to our communities and to the many who rely on the Postal Service every single day. And that's why I'm proud to support House Resolution 12, which maintains the Postal Service's commitment to 6-day mail delivery. And I want to thank you. You, the letter carriers, have been very incredible advocates for 6-day service. I think everybody in Congress has heard from you. And that is why there was a step toward success when this summer the financial services spending bill for the upcoming fiscal year included the preservation of 6-day delivery service. That is truly a victory. But you know what? We can't stop there. We have to make sure that there is door-to-door service. We have to make sure that there's relief from this pre-funding for pensions. And that is why I am a co-sponsor of H.R. 5714, which would have steps that would reform the Postal Service for the better. And it is bipartisan, so let's hope that we can keep on pushing that through so that we can have a Postal Service that is the best that it can be. Yes. So when Congress comes back from recess, which will be in September, first week of September, we need your continued advocacy to show that this important bill has the reforms that we need, and we must continue to take steps forward so that we can move the Postal Service forward. In the meanwhile, let me thank you for this incredibly inspirational food drive that you have. I cannot believe what you have done for all the food banks all across America. And that's why I had to go and witness it up myself and see the delivery of all those bundles of food. Thank you so much for collecting all those food on behalf of the hungry and the homeless of America. Well, let me say, Americans everywhere depend on the Postal Service. It's even enshrined in our Constitution. So I want you all to know you can count on me to be your steadfast ally now and forever. Let's work together. Let's make sure the post office continues to grow and thrive in the 21st century. Thank you.
How about a letter carrier cheer? Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Thanks so much for coming.
By family. So I will tell you right here and right now, I have always fought for pensions. I will always fight for pensions. I will fight for Social Security for all. This is my promise to you, and I know that it is important to all of organized labor, because organized labor is the one that fights for the pensions of all Americans. And we got to do something about the way they're funding that ridiculous money out of your system so that we can't get on with the job of delivering mail to all Americans. Years I have fought for the issues that are important, in particular to the letter carriers. So much so that, yes, and I'm very proud of having stolen Jennifer away from y'all to be my top gun in Washington, D.C., which means that you don't need to come and tell me what's going on. I know what's going on. It means that you don't need to educate me about what's happening with the postal system, postal reform, or our letter carriers. I know, and I'm the one educating my colleagues about what Congress must do. Operates 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. On the fourth year, it's a leap day. And in its current form, I cannot support H.R. 5714. Will not support 5714 until it is correct for all of you and the rest of our workers and our nation. You know, real postal reform doesn't happen on the back of the workers. Real postal reform cannot sacrifice the employees or the people who built the system in the name of balancing what's going on. It cannot sacrifice by closing plants, by closing our post offices in our local areas. That is not the way we do postal reform. There are easy ways to finance the postal system. You know them, I know them. The problem is the Republicans have not figured out that our postal system is and must be the envy of the world.
So how about a letter carrier cheer for future Senator Loretta Sanchez? Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Hip, hip! Brothers and sisters, Congresswoman Maxine Waters is the Dean of the Los Angeles delegation in the House of Representatives. She has a long history in Congress, representing multiple California districts for 13 terms, and currently serves as the ranking member of the House Committee on Financial Services. An outspoken advocate for women, children, people of color, and the poor, she's considered by many to be one of the most powerful women in American politics today. Throughout her nearly two decades in Congress, she's been a friend to letter carriers, working families, and the labor movement. She's maintained an impressive 98% lifetime voting record with the AFL-CIO. When the Postal Service announced its plan to close more than 10% of its 36,000 post offices back in 2011, she blasted former Postmaster General Donahoe, whose plans would have eliminated nearly 4,000 jobs. In 2012, the Congresswoman introduced the Protecting Post Offices Act, legislation that would have eliminated the retiree health pre-funding mandate. She saved some 28,000 jobs and continued providing services through the Americans throughout the country. And each year, we know that we can count on Congresswoman Waters to support the budget resolutions and maintain six-day and door delivery, as well as our service standards. I'm proud to bring to the stage someone whose work over the last 26 years has helped improve the lives of letter carriers and working families across the country. Brothers and sisters, please welcome Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am so pleased that your convention is being held in the great city of Los Angeles. Welcome. I want you to know that you started the convention on my birthday, August 15th. And I want you to know the last time this convention was in LA, I was 3 years old, 75 years ago. So welcome back again. I am so pleased to be here with all of you. This is your 7th Biennial National Association of Letter Carriers Convention, and I would especially like to thank your president, Fred Rolando, for introducing me and for all of his hard work and leadership. Give him another round of applause. We have accomplished a lot together on behalf of the nation's postal workers, but I want you to know one of my dearest friends in life is Larry Brown. Larry Brown, the president of NALC Angel City Branch 24. You know this man is active, he's got a lot of energy, and we know him as a real hellraiser here in Los Angeles. Give him a big round of applause. Larry and I have worked together for a very long time, along with other friends like John Beaumont, to make sure the voices of letter carriers across the state of California are heard throughout the halls of Congress. And it has been a real pleasure working with you to achieve this goal. So go ahead and give John Beaumont a big round of applause. But I want you to know that all of the officers for the national and for the local really deserve to be recognized and appreciated. It's not easy to be in leadership. Everybody wants you to do what they want you to do, but they don't recognize their own faults. And so these are sacrifices that these leaders are making. Come on, let's hear it for the national board and for the local. So ladies and gentlemen, as President Obama's administration draws to a close, we continue to navigate serious economic and cultural challenges while also facing an uncooperative and short-sighted Republican-led Congress, one that has the potential to harm not only the good work of postal workers everywhere, but also the already struggling American middle class, a middle class that the Postal Service had an important hand in building. For these reasons, we must continue to stick together, to organize and endure and ensure that leaders who share your concerns are the ones making decisions. Although it is no secret that the Postal Service is dealing with rather small budgets due to financial constraints, I am seriously concerned about any cost-cutting proposal that would eliminate Saturday mail delivery. I firmly believe that Saturday delivery is one of the most valued services by postal customers. Eliminating its availability would have serious consequences for both postal employees and customers alike. That is why each year I continue to lead a letter to our appropriators to include language in our budget that ensures that Saturday mail delivery will remain in existence. In addition to the continued fight for six-day mail delivery, I'm committed to support the Postal Service in any effort to foster more work for its workers and find more practical ways to reduce spending other than decreasing mail delivery. Decreasing mail delivery is not an acceptable option. We must find more work, and we must not cut the budget. For example, similar to eliminating six-day mail delivery, consolidating or closing postal offices will only lead to layoffs and would severely impact our communities. This is particularly concerning to me in low-income and minority neighborhoods that already receive insufficient government services and poor accessibility to public transit. Instead, Congress should be focusing on solutions such as Medicare integration for postal retiree health plans, postal rate increases, and allowing the Postal Service more product flexibility, such as deliveries of whatever, including alcohol, all of which would help address budget concerns while enabling job retention or even job growth. Let's be creative. Let's be creative. Let's get our constituents advocating for the use of postal services in creative ways. Unfortunately, there are some who would like to believe that postal workers and teachers and firefighters and police officers and other government employees are drained on the federal budget, that hardworking citizens such as yourselves can be reduced or replaced in the name of fiscal responsibility. The same people who think like that willingly ignore any opportunity to close tax loopholes and to ensure the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes. What they don't seem to understand or care about is that we cannot afford to lose any more jobs in this economy. No more job loss. Closing down postal offices and shutting down Saturday services are two actions that guarantee the loss of more than 80,000 jobs at least. Those losses would be a burden on people who are already dealing with home foreclosures, exorbitant health care costs, insurmountable student debt. These people are not the 1%. It is our vulnerable populations that continue to bear the brunt of the economic recession, which is exactly why the jobs of letter carriers and all postal workers are so very important. With the elections ahead of us, let us not forget one of our core values, equality. We all value a society in which all people are treated with dignity, fairness, and are able to embrace every opportunity, but especially economic and financial success. That is why I will continue to fight today and every day that I serve on behalf of all of the families that are represented here today. Ladies and gentlemen, I think probably you've heard enough about what we're all concerned about as we approach November and these presidential elections. Let me put it plain and simple. Donald Trump is nuts. He is crazy. He is dangerous. We cannot afford to not go to the polls. We cannot afford not to work in the precincts in ways that we have never worked before. If Donald Trump is elected president of the United States with access to nuclear codes, we don't know what the hell he would do. And so, let's not be comfortable, let's not be complacent, and I don't care what you worry somewhat about, and you think, well, the other candidate hasn't done everything that we would want her to do, but I want you to know I support her, I trust her, and she will be a better representative for all of the people of this country than Donald Trump. So, that was not a part of my speech, but I can't look at this man on television all day and night and not be frightened and concerned and not being committed to work as hard as I can to make sure he does not ruin this country and cause us to be in wars that we don't need to be in, cause us to lose opportunities we don't need to lose. He knows nothing. He makes it up as he goes along, and we've got to kick his behind and keep him out. Thank you. Oh, is that right?
Congresswoman Maxine Waters, how about a letter carrier cheer? Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Thank you all so very much.